What we're about to listen is a snapshot of Nari's world's work. We have been following the artist in the past few years, and a few months ago we sat together and talked about some of his latest pieces, but most of all, we talked about his practice.
There's a kind of narrative. It's not a straight line narrative, but there is more this idea of service and servitude. Service and servitude. Service and servitude. A lot of the work revolves around this, that component, that expectation in terms of the materials. And then the idea of power, relationship of power regarding service. So that's kind of endemic to most of the work. Beyond. I'll describe it a little bit. It's a mongofiera, which is a hot air balloon. I hope I'm saying that right. But it's a kind of hot air balloon made out of scrap metal. And it's actually quite dormant. It's weighed down with other pieces of metal. And then coming out the top of the balloon are about 160 bottles that have messages in them, or at least paper in them with words written on it. And the words are actually different translation in different languages of the word beyond.
Beyond, 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 beyond.
So it's this piece about being dormant and maybe even stuck, but it's also about this idea of desire. It's about this kind of hope for something else. That this sort of message in the bottle is the theme in that particular piece. So that central element kind of frames out or gives this perspective on the other works, which are mostly incorporating ideas of service in, say, the hotel industry or an expectation of social mobility. Called The Wishing Arena, and that piece is composed of hotel waste baskets, a sort of old play system that some people have played with, where it's like two cans tied together. So actually what it is a set of ladders that creates a bank of what looks to be like lights, or arena lights, stadium lights. When you get closer, then from the waste baskets, which is what they are, there are strings that go down to small cans, and one is invited to make a wish in the can. But before they can make a wish, there's a performative component to the piece, and you have to ask somebody, an attendant, to illuminate, to turn on this bulb that's in the other side of the waste basket. So somebody has to climb this apparatus, this ladder device, the arena, turn the light on, and then you're capable of making your wish. For me, it's this idea of really thinking about a poetic approach, which is finding one, something that I'm really passionate about and feel a connection, a deep connection with, and then thinking about a material that can help to both echo it, but also challenge it. For me, there's, within the work also, there's this element of opposition and contradiction. There's always something against something else, whether it's in kind of material form or in conceptual form. And that opposition, that tension, is really important part of layering the ideas in the work. And also allowing for other things to happen. You know, it's like, okay, so I may have a particular regard for something, but I'd never want my regard or my interest to override the other possibilities for the viewer and their experience. So it's really about creating almost like a vessel for the viewer to bring their own experience and have that experience as an ingredient for something else to happen. So it's about taking this thing that I'm questioning and then try to figure out how to make it visually dynamic and engaging for somebody want to take time to bring their own experience into it and leave it open enough for that experience to grow into something else. So I think that idea of having a kind of maybe a kind of open vessel for the work becomes a kind of open vessel for meaning to revolve, my meaning, their meaning to revolve in a discourse. That's really important. That's what I really try to have the work do. Somebody was telling me that it seems like more and more the white cube is becoming like the church, what the church used to be, right? This idea of a space of meditation and search. It's an interesting observation. I never thought about that, but I thought, okay, so that's the case, then maybe it's about trying to play with all those ideas, you know, and all the expectations from all of those kinds of spaces. So to make this, I guess what I'm getting at is, I guess sometimes you do the work and you figure out it teaches you what needs to happen to it. And that's kind of an evolving thing once you show it and show it again and see where it takes you.
Those who encounter Nari Ward's work are struck with a mix of playfulness and violence. Nothing there is gratuitous, but the spectator is always invited to engage with it, and to engage with both its light and serious side.
Trying to have both of those things in play and not one being better than the other, but part of the reality of any situation. You know, we choose to focus on certain things, but there's always a backstory to things that sort of is more a passageway into some other kind of truth. And not to say truth as being the ultimate destination, but a reality, you know, which is that it's this strange combination of things that are parallel and contradictory that really are, that make up our everyday existence.
And all of that comes out in a particularly strong way in Bellbeat, a piece in which a hotel bell is positioned in front of a wall made of loudspeakers.
That particular piece for me was really about using a memory of Jamaican sound systems, which guys who would create these sound systems would just have these massive pile high speakers that they'd put together. And it was just about getting as much out of these the sound and echo to get the audience excited. And so I wanted to take that idea of a kind of, maybe about a kind of entertainment, and then this other thing of the service bell as this element of servitude, and combine them and see what happens. So the playful nature is in there. But it's also the booming, annoying, problematic idea of being in service to something, but it's still needing it to survive. For me, maybe it's about trying to make as fertile as possible an opportunity for somebody to want to investigate. You know, so I start out with being really engage with the material and then maybe trying to figure out how to transform that material. So in a way, I'm a very traditional sculptor. I really like working with materials that are quite familiar and then figuring out how to make that thing new again for the viewer. And that idea of being new again is also about taking experiences and re-enveloping them for the viewer. So in fact, it's not even about, you know, making a new experience for them, but giving them a distance from that moment so that the thing that they already know within inside of them, that experience that we already have, they can just have another position on it. And I think that's kind of the strategy that I'm always trying to do, is how do you pull somebody out of a particular rhythm so that they can stand aside to it to have another kind of experience with what they know. So it's really, I'm not changing anything of them, but I'm trying to change their position on the thing that they already know. And in doing that, that thing they already know is going to be new and echo other kinds of reaction. So it's a really using that material as a kind of engine for meaning. The material sometimes leads you to where you need to go. But this idea of something found and something looked for, it's actually a really interesting middle space, because it's not really about found, because it's really about this inspiration, you know, and this inspiration is also coming from you, you know. So it's this strange space of trying to understand how you deal with meaning and how you find inspiration from meaning, from things. So it's an interesting question. I've had to rely a lot on other people to help me get materials and figure out how things are going to get made. And so I've been doing a lot more drawing. And it's funny, because in doing the drawings, I'm always excited about the work not becoming an illustration of the drawing. So in fact, I'll start out with this image of what this thing should be, and then challenge myself to figure out what needs to happen in the process that's going to have it evolve away from that image and become something else. So this is just on a kind of formal level, that's been really interesting, because I find that if I go from the drawing to the final piece and it hasn't changed, or I haven't had any situations, and not problems, but situation arise, then it's not as dynamic and as inventive as I really would like things to happen. And this thing of inventing is also really important for me, this idea of how to make something that is out of the ordinary, use the thing that somebody knows and then have to repurpose it, give it another kind of life. I think that for me is also really particular to almost all the work. There's a thing that's very familiar that suddenly is seen in a whole new light, because it's being used in a way, in different kind of expectation for what it should be and how it should be thought of, evolves through how it's used. I always used to say that, you know, for me, it's always like the most useless, the thing is the more better to think about it. Because in fact, I think we're more accustomed to labeling things. And if we can safely label something, then we don't really feel we need to think much more about it, because we think we understand what it is. But the more you can put something that creates something that doesn't quite fit into any particular label, including art, into the art label, the more powerful that thing becomes, the more it defies the labels that one would normally try to assign to it. And I think that's what strength of a work comes out of, that it embraces a particular expectation, but then at the same time shifts on the viewer.